Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
No more excuses this year. Done. Zip. Nada. None. That faint sound you're beginning to hear off in the distance is the Milwaukee Bucks championship window beginning to slowly close.
Aww. I'm unclear. How many excuses do we have this year, Brandon?
Zip.
None.
Nada.
Zip. Done. Nada.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
I like a good acronym, E. Everybody knows what an acronym is, right? You take the first letter of a series of words like NASA, National Aeronautics and Space Administration, right? That's an acronym.
And it becomes almost a word in itself.
Yeah, it sure does. Okay, so here's one for you relevant to today. It's IPAV. IPAV, IPAV. Hmm. Want to take a stab at it?
In-person absentee valances.
Come on, now you got it. Yeah, nice, well done. It is legally allowed to begin today, but not everyone will have an opportunity to do it. As we've explained, this process is subject to local rules set by your municipal clerk, city, town, village clerk, sets the hours for in-person absentee voting. It is allowed in Wisconsin from starting today, this Tuesday, through next Sunday. So not this weekend, but next week, Sunday, November 3rd. Again, I said allowed. So Milwaukee, for example, today will launch 10 sites where you can vote in person. Five of them are even open on Sundays, as well as Saturday. In Waukesha, take that for example, no weekends, largely 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m., with the exception of the final day that you can do it in Waukesha, Friday, November 1st, where they will extend to 5 p.m., and that's all in one spot. That's all at City Hall. So you see the difference. Smaller communities may even be by appointment only with the town clerk. Mail-in voting continues. Hear the report by Charles Benson at TMJ4. I've got updated numbers for you now from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. They have already received, either through mail or drop boxes or direct delivery to clerk's offices, 326,000 absentee ballots. So these were of the mail-in variety. So now we'll start adding this in-person absentee voting. Wisconsin Elections Commission also imploring folks who still hope to receive an absentee ballot by mail to request one immediately.
Right.
Because it has to make it back to the clerk's office by 8 p.m. on election day for it to count. So start doing the math. We're 2 weeks out now. Take time to process it. Get it to you by the postal service. You have to send it back by mail or drop it off. So if that's how you want to vote, you got to get on that, like today.
Right.
Most clerk's offices will post IPAV hours on their website. In-person absentee voting. Is that going to stick? This is the first year I've seen that acronym out there.
Never heard that used outside of 5 seconds ago.
Wisconsin Elections Commission is using that in some of their stuff. Okay. IPAV. WAC, Wisconsin Elections Commission. Mm. So if you plan to vote ahead, you want to check with your local clerk's office, but it can legally begin here in Wisconsin today. 6:14 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Packers at the Jaguars on the road Sunday. Much has been made of the winning kick to walk it off against the Texans the other day.
He's got this to win it. Low snap, the kick. It is good!
Jim Mann, CBS Sports on the call. Let me take you inside that moment here. In the mind of head coach Matt LaFleur, LaFleur saying as his kicker, who'd been with the team for a cup of coffee so far, this guy's out there lining up for a win or lose moment. And LaFleur's thinking, never should have come down to this.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when you're just Rolodexing all the mistakes that you made or miss-ops to kind of put yourself in that position. So never want to put somebody in that position. But,
you know, like I like that Rolodexing. Man, we could have done this. We could have done this. We had a drop here. Right, we had a pick there, right? Human moment for LaFleur. Thinking of all the chances the Packers had to make that an easier win. Still, there was confidence on the sideline. LaFleur here mentions special teams assistant coach Byron Stoner, who'd been working with this newly acquired kicker, Brandon McManus, through the week.
Now, we're fortunate that he's been in those situations before. So I know somebody was standing next to Byron, and Byron's like, yeah, no problem. He's gonna make it. So, yeah, I think we had a lot of confidence in him.
And that's a feeling if we're being honest, we have not had in Green Bay for a little while. Noon kick Sunday in Jacksonville.
It is a kicker's league in the NFL.
Clutch. Right down the middle. And Arizona grinds out a hard-earned physical victory over L.A.
The call on ESPN as the Cardinals 17-15 winners last-second field goal over the Chargers, thanks to that kick by Chad Ryland. There were two games on Monday Night Football. Lamar Jackson also threw five touchdowns as the Ravens beat the Buccaneers 41-31. Of course, the Packers play the Jaguars. The Milwaukee Bucks start their season tomorrow night in Philadelphia. No Chris Middleton to start the season as he recovers from ankle surgery. So can the Bucks return to glory this year? Can they make a deep run? Can they make it to the championship? WDTMJ's Brandon Snyde.
It may be a new season for the Milwaukee Bucks, but the expectations will remain the same. Giannis coming in healthy. Damian Lillard having a full offseason. Hopefully you get Chris Middleton back at some point in the season. A couple of key acquisitions throughout the course of the offseason. And those expectations are simple. Championship or bust. The excuses for this team have run out. It is time to show up.
Brandon's going to join Justin Garcia, a special two-hour Bucks season preview show tonight right here on WTMJ. It runs at 7 p.m. And then tomorrow, of course, game one, tip-off 6:30 in Philly. Our coverage at 6. Home opener is Friday night against the Bulls.
You starting to feel it at all?
A little buzz?
Until you hit that story, and it's like, all right, this is tomorrow.
Yeah, here we go. Actually, and there are some games tonight. The defending champs, the Celtics host the Knicks, and the Lakers host the Timberwolves.
When's Middleton coming back?
I never know with that guy. Right. You just never know with him.
6:19 on Wisconsin's Morning News. We've got an update on the effort to clear out the park and ride lots where folks have been living for extended periods. Tell you what I saw early this morning. That's next. So today, some vehicles, campers, or RVs still remain in the park and ride lot that is closed to all traffic, no parking, no riding, at the Holt Avenue Park and Ride on Milwaukee's south side. I know this because I went by there about 4 o'clock this morning and checked it out. DOT is clearing out to prevent people from living there on a semi-permanent basis.
If this doesn't go through again, well, where do we sleep tonight? I don't want to cry again, but where do we sleep tonight?
That's a woman who's been living at the park and ride with her husband, hoping that her housing efforts will come through. But she's talking with TMJ4's Mary Jo Ola there. So happening this morning, I drove by. It's kind of on my way in, so I got off the freeway and just wanted to see what that looks like there. They've got temporary chain link fencing around the entire park and ride there, which is just west of the freeway off of Holt Avenue. A couple of Wisconsin State Patrol squads are out there as well monitoring. I didn't see any people walking around. I can't tell you whether or not there are people still in those vehicles, which remain maybe a half dozen at most.
They just ditched them, maybe?
Right, and might be coming back to get them and what exactly that procedure is. It does not appear that authorities have had to forcibly remove anyone. I see no evidence of that based on the news reporting that's out there. You've not seen that anywhere. So that's good news. As I suggested, there are still some vehicles there. Not sure if anyone's inside or what the plan is, if they're not removed at what point. Next week, authorities will take similar steps further south. That'll be at College Avenue. A woman here, she says she's 5 months pregnant. She and her husband started living at the lot on the east side of the freeway after fire destroyed their apartment. So they had housing. They were out and for whatever reason have not been able to get housing since. And listen to what she says here. County says, yeah, we're working on it. We're working on finding housing for folks. But she says it's not that simple.
Actually talking to us and actually helping us get a place, because we know there's no way for us to properly charge our phones. So when it comes to calling housing and having to wait for them, and it's not really easy.
So not everyone in these situations is saying this, my rights, I don't want to go. You know, like some folks are earnestly trying to find some other alternative.
And literally have no place.
Yeah, and they're struggling with that. Now, some folks have been critical of the effort of the DOT, like, to take this action. But we've been dealing with this for some time. There was sort of an initial, 6 months ago, like, that's it, we're gonna clean it out. And then
let that kind of linger.
So here you have, again, this problem. The issue of calls for service. Authorities say it's 1 to 2 times a day they're being called to these park and ride lots for various things. And again, it's not everyone there, but it's some folks there. Drugs, violence, weapons, theft. and other things. And so the lots can't be safely used by people who are there trying to use them for their designated purpose, which is to park your car and carpool or catch a bus or something like that. So the state DOT is now taking this step. One of the criticisms coming from a pair of county supervisors. This is a news release from supervisors Gomez Tom and Ekblad, saying they want to address these closures. Here's a quote. The decision by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation to close the Holt Avenue and College Avenue park and ride facilities fails to address the underlying issues contributing to homelessness in our community. Then it goes on to detail some other alternatives that they should take. While I don't disagree with the supervisors, that's not the job of the State Department of Transportation. In fact, it's your job. Supervisor Caroline Gomez-Tom, that's her district. I'm not saying she hasn't done anything, and clearly the county is involved, but, like, that's your job.
Right.
And it's not like this is a new problem. So to just rip the DOT for finally taking action to stop people from breaking the law for being there, and really, out of concern to some degree, at least for the health of those people as well, I don't know, to call out the DOT and act like somehow this is some sort of strong-arm play by them, it's been weeks, months, if not years,
right,
that we've had this problem.
I know it's unfortunate, but it's not. The DOT has property to clear. You know, not to sound heartless, but at some point the DOT needs to take the property back.
And if you're at a point where, as I said, you can't have regular folks using these lots for what they have needs for, they were designed so that people can carpool. You know, meet somebody there, and we're going down to Illinois, going down to Chicago. Three or four of us meet in the park and ride lot. Three cars stay, one car goes.
Maybe
it's a regular carpool thing for work. Maybe it's a spot where you pick up transit. If we can't even now, because now you have this Holt Avenue lot that's closed, people can't use it. Next week, they're going to start working on the College Avenue lots. They're talking about a full closure on the west side of the freeway and a partial closure on the east side of the freeway. And there again, you'll have people put out who can't use these lots for their designated purpose. So it's not a great situation. And even if you have a heart, it's not like this is new, and we haven't had time to try to address some of the concerns that the supervisors raised there. It's not an easy solution, but it's also their job. Packers had some problems on the punt return team, so Matt LaFleur asked a reporter, what would your coaching points be?
Well, I don't know. Maybe coach a little bit. Right. It sort of seems like,
since he asked, we'll answer the question.
There was a moment during that game when you wondered if there was any coaching taking place.
We'll take a shot at it at 6:45.
It turns out the meteorite that wiped out the dinosaurs was preceded by one even bigger.
3 billion years ago, when early life was just starting on our planet, a giant meteorite smashed into what is now South Africa. It was 200 times bigger than the one that would wipe out the dinosaurs 66 million years ago. It gouged out a 300-mile-long crater, made the oceans boil, triggered a giant tsunami, and sent molten, pulverized rocks into the atmosphere. But the scientists who've analyzed it say it also churned up nutrients essential to life, kick-starting a new phase of evolution. Vicki Barker, CBS News.
I couldn't tell you what happened in my yard last week with, like, weeds and plants and things.
What squirrels burrowed a hole and buried some stuff.
Where did this come from? Who did that? And this is 3 billion years ago.
I mean, give or take.
Give or take.
6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Could a sales tax be coming to Waukesha County? County Board going to vote on that tonight, at least it's expected to, on a proposed 0.5% sales tax increase. Now, the county executive, Paul Farrow, has told us in the past on this very radio station that state revenue limits and the current shared revenue formula have left Waukesha County in a, quote, persistent $5 million annual budget shortfall, something they've been dealing with.
Waukesha County sends $1.55 billion every year to Madison in personal income and sales tax. We receive back $60 million. We are the lowest receiving county when it comes to state aid across the entire state.
So what do? You got to fill that gap somehow. Now, there has been some pushback to this vote. The chair of the Republican Party in Waukesha County tells the Waukesha Freeman the board isn't giving enough time for the public to have a voice in this. The board pushes back, the chair telling the paper, no, that's not true. They've been discussing this for years, trying to figure out how to fill this budget cap. It's gotten to this point where it's $5 million bucks now.
I feel like that's fair. Like, it's been talked about. It's been discussed. it's the responsibility of supervisors in the county to know what their constituents feel about these sort of things. So, like, support it or don't support it. But either way, the suggestion that, like, well, we're just hearing about this. No. And that affecting how this vote goes,
right.
I think that, I don't know.
I'm just interested.
Stand up for me.
It'd be interesting to see what happens if there's some vocal, quote-unquote, outrage a month before an election. You know, maybe get some brownie points there, get a couple of, hey, look at me, I'm upset about
I'm
something.
Standing up
yeah,
for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, right, yes. Right. Take advantage of that if
you
can.
You got to do it now, though. It's budget time. So they got to know going into the budget whether or not they can budget for this additional revenue.
The sheriff of Waukesha County, Eric Severson, among the county leaders who have said they are in support of adding the 0.5% sales tax to the state's existing 5% sales and use tax.
So I think they're one of the only counties in the state that don't levy a sales tax at all.
Maybe two or three counties.
Two or three, doesn't that sound right?
Not very many, right.
Well, we'll see if it's down to two. After tonight, 6:44 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Packers 5-2 got the win Sunday, but we're going to nitpick because we're fans, and that's what
ball's
we're doing.
Touched. It hit Ballantyne, the Packer.
I think this is going to go to the Texans.
It did hit Ballantyne, the Packer, and indeed Tony Romo did go to the Texans. Romo and Nance on the call for CBS Sports. Punt return, not a good unit for the Packers on Sunday, right? Packers head coach Matt LaFleur asked by a reporter what the coaching point would be on those two mistakes.
On the punt returns, obviously, I'm sure neither of those guys wanted that to happen, but what's the coaching point for Keyshawn and Jaden on those? Are different situations, obviously, though. Like,
what do you think the coaching point would be, Bill? What would you tell them?
What do you think? Well,
is that fair?
Since you asked, Coach, I'd tell Keyshawn Nixon to step up and catch that ball. and the rest of the unit, have your head about you so you don't get hit by the bouncing ball.
And then it wasn't that Reed who caught it over his shoulder on the 1 yard line or
yes.
something? Like, what are you doing?
I'd tell Jaden Reed what every high school coach in the land tells his players. The ball's inside the 10 yard line. Let it bounce. Hoping it goes into the end zone for a touchback.
You could argue it's nitpicking, but it came down to a final kick with 2 seconds to go.
I think he just obviously lost track of where he was because, I mean, that's a no-brainer. You let that ball go when you get too far inside that 10-yard line. So, obviously, two big mistakes that we have got to get corrected.
Okay, well, corrected quickly, but as has been stated, Packers get the win without playing their best football. And we'll take it. Next up, a noon kick on the road against the Jaguars.
Wasn't the one thing you were thinking while watching that game, like, what does the special teams coordinator do?
Right. What is the instruction?
Not these things.
Well, he's mad at me all the time. I'm like, we learned that in high school, inside the 10. Right. Let it bounce. I can still hear John Richmond. Oh, let that ball bounce.
Speaking of kicking last-second field goals, Monday Night Football, the Cardinals beat the Chargers 17-15 thanks to a last-second field goal. And there was also another game on Monday night. Lamar Jackson helps throw 5 touchdowns as the Ravens beat the Buccaneers 41-31. The Milwaukee Bucks get back to work tomorrow night. The season officially begins. No Chris Middleton, unfortunately, to start the season. He's got the ankle surgeries he's still recovering from. So what can we expect this year? WTMJ's Brandon Snyde.
I expect big things out of Giannis and Dame this season. The two have played 65 games together and have won 44 of them. The ownership and general manager John Horst have done everything for this team to be successful on the court. The pressure lies on the shoulders of Doc Rivers, Giannis and Dame, and of course Chris Middleton. The biggest question mark for this team though is, can they stay healthy? They haven't been out of the first round since 2022. No more excuses this year. Done. Zip. Nada. None. That faint sound you're beginning to hear off in the distance is the Milwaukee Bucks championship window beginning to slowly close.
Aww. I'm unclear. How many excuses do we have this year, Brandon?
Zip.
None.
Nada,
zip. Done. Nada.
Brandon, by the way, is going to join Justin Garcia for a 2-hour Bucks season preview show tonight on WTMJ 7 p.m. It starts, and then, of course, game one is tomorrow, 6:30 tip. Our coverage at 6 o'clock, Bucks and Sixers.
Coming up.
There is no stopping in the white zone.
No, the white zone is for loading and unloading, and there is no stopping in the red zone.
There's also no hugging.
The white zone is for immediate loading and unloading of passengers only. There is no stopping in the red zone.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
I couldn't get the music going.
No stopping and no hugging. So an airport in New Zealand is putting an end to the long goodbye. Not content with a time limit for an airport drop-off, airport officials in New Zealand have now capped the goodbye hug at just 3 minutes. No longer than 3 minutes.
Too many people are spending too much time with their fond of farewells in the drop-off zone.
Yeah, that's Airport Chief Executive Danny DeBano there. It allows others more time to say goodbye as well, but he admits there are other reasons why they want to shorten this down.
You know, our team have seen interesting things go on in the car park over many years.
Okay, some interesting things he's seen there.
In the car park?
Yeah, so here's what they want. They don't want anything longer than just a minute or so or 3 minutes tops. He says there's a free 15-minute parking zone that you can park there and you can spend as much time as you want saying goodbye there.
You want to make out in the 15-minute zone, that's fine. But
3 minutes?
Not here in the 3-minute
zone. Basically slow down your car and kick them out.
Yes.
Bye, love you.
But 3 minutes seems like a plenty long enough time to say goodbye.
Well, I don't know that that's like a 3 minutes on the embrace, right? They're not clocking the moment of embrace.
Well, what do you think they're clocking then?
Well, like total time spent unloading your stuff and whatever else.
Okay.
I feel
still a long time. 3 minutes, like I'm in and out of there, say goodbye, get the bag out of the trunk. And
so you are kicking them out.
Well, yeah.
Because you slow the car down just a little bit.
Well, who like actually stops and sets down the bag and then starts a conversation? So when
well,
you get
true.
There, well, you know.
You give them a hug and then get out.
Yeah.
The red zone has always been for loading and unloading. There's never stopping in a white zone.
Don't tell me which zone is for stopping and which zone is for loading.
Right.
I do feel like at Mitchell lately, they've been hustling you along a little bit.
They chirp at you?
Well, just kind of like, let's go. I'm like, I still actually have a bag in my hands and clearly actively loading and unloading here. There's some active loading and unloading.
Well, there's a difference between getting it all the way to the curb and stopping the car and doing your quick goodbye versus like when you're like three lanes over and then you park it still. You're like
right.
Blocking three lanes of traffic, blocking the shuttle bus in there, and you're pulling it into park. And
I feel like, too, every time it's just cuckoo town. Drop off or pick up. It's like packed.
You should drop them off on a red eye. There ain't nobody there.
At a who?
Oh, a red eye?
For an early flight.
Or just do the cell phone lot there. Then you can sit and
well, there's that.
Talk. So
go ahead, walk on in. No, you can say your goodbye and all that.
Really looking forward to hearing how your trip went.
I do feel the pressure, though, as somebody comes to pick us up. You know, we're like ready. We've got our bags in our hands. They open the door, throw the stuff in, jump in, and go.
Right. You feel like you have to, that you don't want to get yelled at.
Big problem in New Zealand, apparently, though.
But I'll take 3 minutes. That's a long time. Time that out and let me know if you need more than 3 minutes to say goodbye to somebody.
I hope Angie didn't hear this. Hey, what do you need from me? What? Yeah, goodbye. Have a nice trip.
It's not like you
can. I love you.
Yeah, because we don't have 30 minutes to talk about it on the ride over there to the airport.
I told you on the way over I love you. What? Have a great trip. What?
Because clearly that's what this means.
No, don't leave like this. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm texting the whole trip.
Eric's in the doghouse.
Thanks for nothing.
All right, fine.
Listen, buddy, don't start off with your white zone shit again.